5. Unveiled Threat. After the excitement died down, most of us went back to the mess and zapped up a meal. Dargo went off somewhere to stick pins in dolls. I traded the lump of rice in my chicken for the pile of mashed potatoes that came with Oz's meatloaf. He exercises as much as I do, as we all do, but he keeps putting on weight while I lose it.
I don't get it, Moonboy said. If they wanted to send a dot and dash message, why be so roundabout? Why not just use the ruby laser itself?
For some reason, they wanted the Martians involved, I said. One Martian, at least. What I want to know is how Fly and Amber got all that information out of the red light.
So far, all we'd gotten was on, off. On, off.
Oz nodded.
And what's different about Flyin' Amber and those other yellow ones, that they were the only Martians affected by it? The anatomical scans we did on Mars didn't show any significant differences between the various families, except for Red. With all his extra brain and nervous system mass and complexity, I'd expect him to be the one singled out, if any.
He said he didn't feel anything special, Meryl said, but he only looked at it for a couple of seconds. Then he was worrying over Flyin' Amber.
I'll do a high-resolution PET scan of all their eyes and brains, Oz said. See whether Flyin' Amber has some anomaly.
There was a pause, and Paul shook his head.
Triton? How could intelligent life evolve on Triton? How could anything complex?
Oz studied his meatloaf for clues.
Well, it couldn't be like Earth. A large variety of species competing for ecological niches. At least, intuitively, that doesn't sound likely. If it's like Red suggested, a quasi-organic chemistry based on silicon and liquid nitrogen, think of how slow chemical reactions would be.
And how little chemical variety, Moonboy said. With so little solar energy pumping it.
There's also energy from radioactivity, Paul pointed out, and tidal friction from Neptune. I think that's what causes the liquid nitrogen geysers they see.
Moonboy persisted.
But it would never have anything like the variety and energy in the Earth's primordial soup.
You're all barking up the wrong tree, I said. If the signal really is coming from the others, they didn't evolve on Triton. The Martians' tradition is that they live light years away. So this laser thing could just be an automated device. It isn't any more or less impossible than the Martian city that was supposedly built by the others a zillion years ago.
Or 27,000,
Oz said.
You're right. But why did it start blinking exactly as soon as one of the yellow family reached Earth orbit? That would be some sophisticated automation.
That gave me a little chill. In other words, we're being watched? He stroked his beard.
Give me another explanation.
Over the next several days, scientists on Earth, as well as here, analyzed the signal from Neptune, which had stopped 8 hours and 20 minutes after Flyin' Amber's condition had been broadcast to Earth. That was exactly twice the travel time of that broadcast to Neptune, which in fact was an interesting piece of information in itself. Mission accomplished. Turn it off. The laser beam was apparently just that, a simple, powerful beam of unmodulated coherent light, carrying no information other than the intriguing fact of its own existence. There are some natural sources of cosmic radiation that produce coherent light, but nobody was pursuing that direction, since the timing of it would be an impossible coincidence. It was artificial, and in its way was as much a message as the Drake diagram that came out of the amplitude modulation part of Flyin' Amber's utterances. The amount of power it was pumping was part of the message, a scary part. It could destroy an approaching spaceship,
Maybe it had. Once. The frequency modulation part of the message resisted analysis. Each of the 10 iterations of the signal had different and apparently random patterns. The Martians here and on Mars listened to them and agreed that they sounded like Martian speech, albeit in monotone, but made absolutely no sense. Flyin' Amber found it quite maddening. He said,
"It sounds like a human idiot going la 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 over and over."
Well, maybe. But sometimes the la became la-ah-ah, or just ul, and sometimes it sounded like a pencil sharpener trying to say la. 4 or 5 days after the excitement, I was dragging my weary bones home after exercise and was surprised to meet Red at the end of the corridor. The Martians didn't often wander over this way.
"Carmen, we always meet at my place. Could I have a look at yours?"
Sure, why not? It was a mess, but I doubted that Red would care. He'd learn more. I thumbed the lock. I normally take a shower after working out.
"Your smell is not toxic."
I guess you take your compliments where you can find them. He looked large in my small room, and strange, hemmed in by undersized furniture he couldn't use. He wheeled the desk chair over in front of him.
"Could we have some music? Bach Concerto No. 1 in F major?"
"Brandenburg, sure." Pretty loud. I asked the machine, and it started.
"A little louder?"
He gestured for me to sit in front of him. I did, and he leaned forward and spoke in a barely audible whisper.
"Everything I do in my quarters is recorded for science. But this must be a secret between you and me. No other humans. No other Martians."
"All right, I promise."
"When I listened to the frequency modulation part, I understood it immediately. Only I could understand it."
"Only you? It was in your private language? The leader language?" He nodded.
"Perhaps it is the real reason we have to learn the language. Because this was going to happen eventually."
His voice became even lower, and I strained to hear.
"It told me that we Martians are biological machines developed for this purpose, to communicate with humans if and when they developed to this point, a time when flight to the stars became possible."
"I thought it wasn't yet."
"Within a few human lifespans. The others work slowly."
"You mean the others actually did evolve on Triton?"
"Not at all, no. They do come from a planet revolving around another star, some 20 light years from here. It's a cold planet, ancient, and its cryogenic kind of life had been there for literally billions of years. The one individual on Triton was especially engineered for its task, as were all of us Martians. We're all here to keep an eye on you humans. The others move very slowly. Their metabolism is glacial. They think fast, faster than you and me, because their mental processes utilize superconductivity. But in physical manipulation of their environment, you would have to study one for hours to see that it had moved. The one on Triton moves about 64 times as fast as they do. We move about 4 times as fast as it does, to match you. They offer this as an analogy. Suppose you humans, for some reason, had to communicate with a mayfly."
"That's a kind of insect?"
"Yes. Though it lives most of its life as a variety of nymph. When it becomes an actual insect, it only lives for a day. How would you go about communicating with it?"
"You couldn't. It wouldn't have anything like a brain or language." Red grabbed his head and shook it.
"Ha, ha. But this is analogy, not science. Suppose it had a quick, squeaky language, and intelligence and civilization. But it lived so fast that the span from birth to death was only one day. How would you communicate with it?
I see what you're driving at. We're the Mayflies. He grabbed his head again.
You gave away the ending, but suppose you did have to communicate with these intelligent Mayflies. To them, you are slow as sequoias. How do you get them to realize that you are also an intelligent form of life?
Build a machine? One that moves as fast as they do?
Yes, but not in one step. What the others did was build a machine, a carbon-based biological one, that lived somewhat faster than they did, and which had the ability to build a machine faster than itself, and so on down the line.
Until you had one that could talk to Mayflies, humans in this case. He nodded.
That's what we are. We Martians.
Your only function is to communicate with us?
I would say destiny rather than function. We do have a life, a culture independent of you. But humans are our reason for being.
So why, I whispered, waving my hand at the music. Why all the secrecy?
Because I'm not supposed to be explaining this to you. To anybody.
We're supposed to decode the message ourselves?
I don't think you could. I don't think even a Martian could, no matter how brilliant, unless he spent all his youth studying my language.
Maybe not even then, I said. Oz says your brain is immensely more complex than other Martians. But why do the others want to keep it secret?
I don't know the details yet, but they're afraid of you, of what you may become. Millions of years ago, they had trouble with a planet in a nearby system, somewhat like the Earth. Water, carbon, oxygen, life. They're frightened by how fast you act, how fast you evolve.
What kind of trouble did they have with this planet? A war?
I don't think that would be possible. I think it was what you would call a preemptive strike.
So, they destroyed them?
Red nodded slowly.
After the young planet started sending out interstellar probes, the other's world was relatively near. Their sun was maybe 100 times the distance from here to Neptune. What we would call a wide double star system. So, of course, the others were their first interstellar destination.
The young world was going to invade at that distance?
The others didn't know. But there were wars on the oxygen planet. Worldwide wars. For years before they had space travel, and the others could observe them indirectly. As we, and they, have done with you.
So the others suddenly developed space travel themselves and went off to do this preemptive strike?
Oh, no. They'd been exploring other planets with probes for many thousands of years. They'd been to this solar system, and others, with complex autonomous robots to gather information, deliver it, and self-destruct.
His voice grew even lower.
As we have observed, they have considerable talent, power, for manipulating things at great distances. The tools for the preemptive strike were in place long before they decided they had to be used.
My God, are they in place here on Earth, too?
That wasn't clear. Sometimes the message was elusive, metaphorical. It was sort of, if it's true, it's too late for the humans to do anything about it. If not, nothing needs to be done.
We might feel differently, we humans.
It also said that for the human's sake, the threat ought to be kept secret. Not for its own protection, it emphasized. For your sake. I think so it wouldn't have to take action prematurely. though my sense is the action wouldn't be anything like an invasion or even a launched missile. It would be a small act, like turning on the laser beacon.
My heart was hammering.
Could it destroy the Earth just like that? So casually? I doubt it. And it wouldn't want to, literally, destroy the Earth. It said that we could have the planet if you proved unsuitable. We Martians.
Now, that would go down really well on Earth.
Don't worry. Who needs the gravity? The others are aquatic, or whatever you call something that lives in liquid nitrogen. They don't think about gravity any more than fish do. They just float there.
I felt he was telling the truth.
You're on our side.
He nodded.
It can't see that. Even if I was not in Bechnem with you, I would feel closer to you, to all humans, than to them. The others may be our creators, but in terms of simple existence, we are much closer to you. They hardly live at all, on our time scale. And, technically, they never die.
Never? How do they manage that?
An individual will stop moving, stop metabolizing for 1,000 years or more. Dead, except for the information structures that make up its individuality. When it's needed again, it's kind of jump-started.
I don't know that term.
It's old-fashioned. Basically, some other individual decides it's time and applies enough energy to get it metabolizing again, a process that might take Ares. So, in a sense, it's never really been dead, though for 1,000 Ares or so, it's been no more alive than data stored in a machine.
How many of them are out there, alive, at any given time?
It could be 3 or 3 trillion. I don't know. The only one we have to worry about is the speeded-up one on Triton. The others are 30 Ares away from affecting us in response to anything we do. And it would take them ages to respond. If some people, a lot of people, knew what you've told me, they'd be declaring war on Triton.
Which would do a lot of good, I know.
A lot of expense for nothing. The best they could do would be to send a heavily armed and automated vessel out to find a small target beneath the surface of Triton and destroy it. But it's impossible.
Not theoretically. Not if a majority wanted it badly enough.
I meant practically. You realize how powerful that laser would be? Close up?
Paul worked up some numbers.
If it could be aimed and used like the American Star Wars lasers were supposed to, they would be able to vaporize any conventional space vehicle long before it got to Triton. Ha, ha.
He nodded rapidly.
But think larger. Suppose this laser is far from being the pinnacle of their technology. Suppose they had one 1,000 times more powerful. Suppose it was hidden on Earth's moon.
It could do some real damage, even if they stopped it pretty quickly.
It would be hard to stop, wouldn't it? And in less than one day, it could destroy every city in the world and set fire to all the forests and plains. The smoke would persist long enough to stop agriculture.
Did the other threaten to do something like that?
No, not in so many words. It did imply that the destruction would only take one day, and from that I extrapolated various possibilities. But it was not like a threat or a prediction.
He paused for several seconds.
It's hard to translate the exact intent. It was presented as a theoretical possibility, almost an entertainment for the other, like a horror movie that could come true. I think I know the leader's written language well, but I've never heard anyone speak it. Doubtless there are nuances that I've missed.
Only one day? We needed a scientist here.
I guess it could deflect a large enough asteroid to make a disaster like the dinosaur wipeout.
Or release some kind of poison in the air. But wouldn't that take more than a day?
Unless it was released at thousands of places all at once. But the one day was only an implication. It could just stand for a short period of time. Maybe a short time in comparison to how long it normally takes for a species to go extinct. As I say, it's hard to tell whether it's being direct or speaking in metaphor and symbol.
Can you talk back to it?
I don't see why not, at least in terms of technology. You could probably talk to it. It seems to understand English. Just go on the 6 o'clock news and say, "Please, Mr. Other, don't destroy us in one day." But that would sort of give away our secret.
You could talk to it, though, in your leader language. I mean, on the same news show, without letting on that you'd talk to any human about what it said.
I'll do something like that eventually. But first, I want to see how it reacts to the Drake Diagram project. That should be ready in a day or so.
The Earthside scientists were arguing with a consortium on Earth. Of course, including the Chilean astronomer who'd cracked the code, and was turning out to be a real pain in the ass, trying to agree on a 29x19 matrix message to send back to Triton via Ruby laser.
Maybe they should just send block letters. Got your message. Please don't kill us.